Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome. And that sciatica is nothing to sneeze at. AB? OB. Okay. Okay. I sent it to her. Are you going to tell him? They caught it ahead of time. I mean, they caught it right on the money this time, and she looks a whole lot better. They used the antibiotic. They got antibiotic in her quicker, and today the redness was gone. Matter of fact, for me to see red, it's got to be really red, and I saw red yesterday, and today I didn't see it at all. They said it's still there. I didn't see it, so that's a good thing. If I can't see the, you know what I'm saying? Well, maybe you don't know, but yeah. Like Linda said, Linda took a picture in the sky when she was going to Waco, and she looked at that rainbow, and I said, where? I saw, yeah, discoloration, yes. And I saw a little white line across the sky. I said, is that your rainbow? She said, yep. I said, all one bar. Okay. Look. That's right.
Mm.
Well, if anybody said anything to you and said, couldn't you see the sign? You tell them that you're a Christian and signs are so they follow believers. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Okay. Unspoken requests? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. There's absolutely nothing impossible for you, Lord. God, we know, Lord, that with you, Lord, Father, all things are possible. And Lord, without you, Lord, we're going to struggle hard. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Father, to remember to put you first, to always put you first, and to trust you, Lord. I ask you right now, Father, to minister to each and every prayer request, Lord, spoken and unspoken alike. God, you are more than able to meet every need, and I thank you for it, God. There's people that need healing in their bodies. There's people, Lord, that need a touch, Lord, in their life. I ask you right now, Lord, to do that. Lord, you're more than able. We give it to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we know, God, that you are in complete and total control. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Get your Bible out. Matter of fact, you might not even have to get your Bible. I'm put up here. We've been doing something different for the last couple of weeks, and we still are. In the next week or so, we're going to actually, in talking about communication, we're going to talk about the difference in men and women. How many know there's a big difference in how men and women communicate? There's a big difference in how men and women communicate, and that's why a lot of arguments are started, because men and women don't realize that there's such a big difference in how they communicate. So we're going to talk about it next week or so. I was waiting for some things so that people get over whatever so we can get our normal crowd back. But tonight, we're going to do something, and I'm putting it up here, and I'll give you a copy of the PowerPoints after tonight. But we're going to talk about the God of trials. How many know that our God is a God not only... He's not only our God in trials, he's the God of trials. We want to blame Satan for everything that's negative and every problem we have. And every time something doesn't go right, we want to blame Satan. And sometimes Satan has absolutely nothing to do with it. Wow. Sometimes it's God and God alone. And oh yeah, us too. We're always in it too. But I'm saying is, I'm talking about we'll mess up, cross the line, do whatever. But I'm talking about there's times where God is doing it, because God knows that we need trials. Did you know that without trials, that we would be very weak Christians? We'd be terrible. It'd be so bad without trials. So watch this. Wants to read the scripture. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you're suffering. Wow, think about this now. Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Wow, that's heavy. God works through many times our pain. He gets more out of pain than you expect. You think Satan is always trying to just hurt you. And God's using it in a very positive way. So here we go. Let's talk about it. What's the purpose of trials? First, A trial is the process of proving the quality or the worth of something or someone. I do not want, if I'm going to climb a scaffold, I do not want to climb a three-story scaffold that has not been proven and checked. I don't want to get on it. If I'm going to have a safety belt, I remember one time I was working at National Spin, and they sent me up to work on some HVAC stuff, and I was 30 foot in the air, and they said, just crawl over that 30-inch pipe to where you had to go, and I had to go from here to there, and they wanted me to crawl on a pipe 30 foot in the air without a safety belt, and I said, y'all have lost your ever-loving mind. And so they said, okay, we'll get you a safety belt to make you feel better. And so they got me a safety belt, but instead of having one that hooked to the safety belt and then hooked, they gave me a safety belt and a piece of rope to tie around and tighten a knot to go. And I said, again, you've lost your ever-loving mind. And I refused to do it. And just a few months before, a guy had got killed out there, not because of a safety belt, but he walked off of a two-story or three-story building. He walked off of it because there wasn't a rail there, and he walked off it, and he fell, and he died. And so I said, I'm not going to be another casualty. All right, so I want to know that what I'm going to use to protect me and what I'm going to use to help me, I want to know that it really works. All right, the same way. God is allowed, Satan always puts us in testing for negative purposes, always negative. Satan is always using it for negative purposes. He wants to see negative results. He wants to drive us from God. Satan wants to drive us from God. Think about it. Everything that happens to us, Satan is trying to drive us from God. When he does something, you can know he's trying to tell you how God is so mean to you and God doesn't love you and you're a different kind of child than everybody else, all kinds of stuff. He wants to drive you from God. But when God allows trials in your life, it's to drive you to him because he wants you to depend on him, to trust him. A test of faith, a test of your patience or your endurance through the process of suffering. God does allow suffering. I hear people all the time, especially these prosperity preachers on TV, make me so mad. If you're suffering today, it's not God. That's not true. Because if you need, God's got to apologize to a whole lot of people in the Old Testament, and you're going to have to apologize to the Apostle Paul if God doesn't use present sufferings also to conform us and to shape us. You know, I remember, you heard me tell about it. I remember I was in the woods one day praying about a mile behind the house. I was praying. It's a clear day, not a cloud in the sky. While I'm praying, I said, God, I need you to talk to me. I really need you to talk to me. I've got to go preach in a couple hours. And I need your word. And while I'm saying that, out of nowhere came this big wind. It was so big that it laid the trees over. I was in a group of trees about the size of this building, and the trees laid over. And I went, whoa, where did that come from? And when it went back up, I noticed something. I could see the sun clearer after that wind. The reason was there was dead limbs and there was dead leaves that were up there from a previous storm. And when God allowed that wind to come through and shake those trees, now I could see the sun a lot clearer. And I asked the Lord, I said, what are you trying to tell me, Lord? And he did, just as clear as a bell, said, sometimes I allow these strong storms, these strong winds in your life, not to hurt you, but to help you get rid of some things that you're holding on to that you don't need to be holding on to. That's preventing my son from being seen in your life. So God uses trials. So now, what is the purpose of trials? I'm glad you asked. there's three Greek words translated for trial in the New Testament. Of course, I know you don't necessarily care for the word, but I'm going to put it there anyway. Dokimaion. It means to make proof or to make your faith trustworthy. A testing trial in which your faith is actually proven genuine. And here it goes again. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though this through refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So there's times when God is doing it. God is allowing it, but he's doing it not to hurt you, but to make you stronger. When I go to the gym to work out, if I kept on working out with 5 pounds, I mean, I've gone behind there. I'm working out now. The average what I work out was 150 pounds. And I've gone behind somebody using 10 pounds, 20 pounds. And I've gone to get on the machine, and I pull it down, and it's only got 10 or 20 pounds, and it throws me off. I mean, it's like, what? It's like there's nothing there. I pull down, and I fall over. I look, and of course, everybody knows that I'm apt to fall down anyway, so they don't say anything. But still, And the funniest thing was I had my earplugs in, my ear things. I was listening to music, and I was singing to the music, and I'm just singing right along. God is powerful. He's got this, God. I'm singing gospel. I'm going to town. I'm getting into it. And I noticed people stopped sitting around me. And I noticed people even started looking funny at me, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? Then I realized I'm the only one that can hear the music. So you got to be careful when you're wearing earplugs and singing to the music. Okay, but still, so I've noticed also that there comes a time where even no matter what weight I'm using, I have to increase the amount of reps I do or increase the weight because I don't feel it. That's who God does the same thing with us. He gets us to a certain point, and you've heard me tell about this before. It's in Malachi where it says, "I will set as a refiner by the fire, and I'll purify you." And a refiner, I've said it so many times, but the refiner sits by the fire, puts his foot down on the bellows, and he gets the fire going, and you have silver or gold, and he knows just how hot to make it. He gets it just hot enough so it starts boiling. And when he sees it start boiling, he backs off. After it cools down, he takes his ladle, and he takes off the trash, the stuff, the debris. He takes it and he throws it away. Then he heats the fire back up again and it bubbles up, and then he does it again. He repeats this process, heats it up, then lets it cool down, wipes off the junk, heats it up, cools down, wipes off the junk. And you know when he stops doing it? He stops doing it when he can see his reflection in it. The same way, when it cools down, he can see his reflection. The same way, God allows trials in our life because he's getting rid of the dross. He's getting rid of the bad things. We're going to talk about it Sunday morning. Matter of fact, you already know it. It's called, I told you last Sunday, but it's the name of the sermon this Sunday is Somebody's Feet Stink. Okay? And you're going to say, what in the world somebody's feet stink? And it's actually talking about foot washing. Foot washing. It's actually got nothing to do with somebody having that kind of, I mean, it's just a different kind of name, but somebody's feet stink. And why? And if you look in the upper room, there's about 5 bad attitudes prevalent in the upper room. Okay? And those 5 bad attitudes, Jesus took a towel and wiped out those 5 bad attitudes. Okay? So here we go. Now, the next one is pyrosis, where we get the word pyrotechnical, pyro fire. Refined character means to kindle, to be ignited, to glow, to be refined. Don't be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange is happening. I can understand why I'm going through this because nobody else I know is going through it. Yeah, they are. They might not tell you, or they might not be going through it at the same time you're going through it, but there's going to be a time when everybody's going to go through the fiery trials. God allows them for us to get stronger. What's the purpose? You've heard me talk about it. Whenever you bought pottery back in the biblical days, there would be, you buy pottery, and guys would have a way of tricking you. They would take pottery that was cracked under the fire. They cracked it, or they dropped it and cracked it. They would take it and they would put it back together and put wax in the crack, and they would paint over it. And then you would go buy this piece of pottery at a premium price, and you'd go home, and when you began to use it, eventually, if not almost immediately, the wax would melt, and then you'd have a big mess on your hands. So in order to know that you had a good pot, it had Caesarea written on it, where we get the word sincere. The word sincere means without wax. Every last one of us have cracks in our life, and that's where Satan enters. That's where we don't necessarily show Jesus so good in the cracks in our life. And so God allows us to go through the fiery trials to find those cracks, because the way you found a crack was you took the pottery and you held it to a bright light. And you take that bright light and put it in the pot or whatever you're doing, or hold it up, and you could see where the crack was and where that wax was. And so that bright light would show you. In the same way, God allows fire in our lives to reveal where those cracks are. And once, see, I tell him all the time, God, if you'll show me, help me to deal with it. You and me together. Show me. Help me. And so he allows that. And then there is peresimos, which is tested. Your commitment is tested. It's put into the proof. It means to essay. How many's ever heard of essay a piece of land? That's when it comes when they decide the worth of the land, the worth of the house. An assayer takes care of that stuff. It's a trial or temptation through which the quality of your commitment is tested. Consider it pure joy, my brother, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. It didn't say Satan beating you develops perseverance. He said the testing of your faith develops perseverance. It means everything you believe in, everything you stand on, when it's at a breaking point, know that that's where the fire has gotten too hot, and now God backs up on it. So he knows you won't have more than you can handle. All right, perseverance must finish its work, so she may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. And so I want to talk about one person, just one tonight, and that's Joseph. How many know that when God allows trial, no matter how severe it may feel, when God allows trial, it's always for good. Always. We don't always think so. We don't always feel like it. Sometimes it's aggravating. Sometimes it hurts so bad I'm thinking, Lord, if you mean this for good, I'd hate to think you meant it for bad. Because it's pretty tough. All right? So, Joseph. Bless his heart. If you look in the Bible, Genesis 37, verses 5 through 11, I'll read it. If you want to look it up, you can. It's Genesis 37, 5 through 11. But it says, Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. They're already hating him, because all these other guys, they're born from all these concubines, and they're born from the slaves of the wives, and only one, Joseph, is actually born from his mother, and so now Jacob has really got something going on for Joseph. So I already know that he's the favored one, the coat of many colors, and he dreams a dream, and he told his brethren. Now he already knows they're hating him. He already knows they're having a problem with him. Now he's got to go say, guess what? I had a dream last night, and all y'all going to bow down to me one day. They're already mad at him. And then he's got to go tell that. So God had to work on his timing. God had to work on more in his timing. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, the dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheath arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheath. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hate him yet the more. I mean, they just keep hating him for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and even the 11 stars are bowing down to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren come bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brothers envied him. But his father observed the saying, and now they're trying to figure out a way. They got to stop this guy. So they wind up selling him into slavery. They were going to kill him, but instead of killing him, they actually sold him into slavery. And Joseph actually had a problem. All right? He needed refining. God wanted to use him, but God couldn't use him like that. Because he would not have gotten the glory to God. He would have took the glory for himself. So God said, I'm going to do something that you understand that this glory is of me, not of you. So the brothers done with him after he bragged that one day that they would bow down. They were done with him, I'm trying to say. They were done with him after he said they'd bow down and they would worship him. So now, God knew he had something big for Joseph. But he also knew that he had a lot of rough edges. So in order to use him correctly, in this major thing he's going to do, he had to scrape off the rough edges. Some of us have some rough edges. And God puts us with people, and you think, God, why you put me with that person? They're driving me nuts. Usually that person is sandpaper that God's using to grind off the rough edges. That's fun, isn't it? But God, anybody but them. And God says, no, that's exactly the one that you need. So he smoothed off the rough edges and character through various trials and testings that build his confidence in his purpose and in his provision. So God does that with all of us. And you know, it's amazing to watch how God does things. The sands of abrasion were very real in Joseph's life. God used his trials of rejection, suffering, and the years of undeserved punishment. Some say 10 years, some say 13. But this man was in prison for a long time for something he didn't do. But God, he kept finding favor with God, and God softened him and used him. So when it was time for him to be the prime minister or the second in charge in Egypt, matter of fact, he said, "I made me a father to Pharaoh." He was ready for it. At the point he was at here, talking about this dream, he weren't ready for it. He'd have blown it. He would have blown it. I can see him now riding through Egypt with his Cadillac saying, "Look at me, look at me." You know, when it's all over with, it's not "look at me." It's "look at what God can do." Matter of fact, how many of y'all think about years ago, some things you might have gone through, and you had a whole different attitude about it than you have about it now? See it entirely different. You know, so God means it for good. Now, Joseph's self-centered spirit was replaced with compassion, even for those who tried to harm him. Genesis 45, verse 8 says, So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Wait a minute. They sold him into slavery. He's accused of trying to attack Potiphar's wife. So he winds up being charged with rape. He's in prison for 10 years. He says, "So now it's not you that sent me, but God." Wait a minute. He understands. God was going to use his pain to promote him. Some of us in here right now, if we could see what we were going to be doing days down the road, years down the road, what we were going to be doing, then we'd understand this is why God is allowing this pain now. You can do this. You can just figure this. The size of your pain, especially if you ain't brought it on yourself, the size of your pain, the size of your trial, will let you know, it gives you an indication, the size of the trials that you go through is an indication of the size of what God has got for you on the other side of that trial. It's something powerful. So instead of being, you're getting mad at God because you're going through so much, thank God, because Lord, you must have something good for me to do over there. It must be something powerful for me to do on this side of this trial, because you're sure doing something to me now. You're sure allowing Satan to work on me. You're allowing all kinds of folks to sandpaper me, and I don't really like it, but okay. Okay, so he hath made me father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste up and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. He didn't say come down and bow down like he did to start with. He said, tell him to come down, and I'm going to take care of you. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near to me, and thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, least thou and thy household, and all thou hast come to poverty. So now look at what he's doing. His whole demeanor has changed, because he sees God in a whole different light. Most importantly, Joseph learned to trust God. Trials help you trust God. His most powerful pronouncement was made when he told his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Now, we talked about Sunday about prayer being one of the most powerful things in the hands of a child of God. Linda had a doctor's appointment at 8:30. In Greenville, and I was trying to get my stuff loaded up. She says, "I got to go." So she had about a five-minute head start. I said, I need you to just go up the back way and go up Fire Tower Road, and you go out to your doctor. You just turn left, and your doctor will be a block down here. Well, she was listening to her phone, and her phone told her to turn a different way. So she turned a different way. So I'm coming in straight, and she's coming this way. She calls me and says, honey, I'm in trouble. I said, what's wrong? She said, my car died. And she's right there. I can see her. I'm coming up, and I see her. She's got traffic backed up. People are giving her a California howdy. Nobody's offering to help her. A woman in a car, nobody's even offering. So if I'd have been behind her, I'd have been caught up in all that traffic. But instead, I went this way. So number one, I saw God's faithfulness. So I shoot across, and I come up and park right beside her in an empty lot where they normally sell Christmas trees. Bojangles is here, and Sheets is here, and CVS is right here on Arlington and Fire Tower. And so I get out, and nobody's offering to help. So I push it from here to just about the road, and I go around the corner, and I see another place where I'm going to pull up just about to the road. And this guy does pull up and gets out, and he pulls right where I'm getting ready to park, and he goes, can I do anything for you? I said, yeah, you can move your truck. I said, you're blocking the road. He said, oh, okay. So they moved the truck, and he came back, and he helped me. And when we went in there, I didn't see it when we were going in it, but it had a rut, and it was uphill, and so we couldn't get the car up any farther. And so there's the car up like this, and first I thought it was out of gas. So I take her to the doctor's appointment. I go get a gas can, and I come up and put gas in it. It's not helping it. And it looks like it's going to roll back into Arlington. And so here's what I did. I heard it. I could see myself. I sat down Sunday. I could see myself sitting right there. And I could hear it. Prayer is one of the most powerful things in the hands of a child of our Heavenly Father. And so right then I stopped and I said, Heavenly Father. And I said, my Father, you're in heaven. Hallowed be your name. I said, I need you. I need you now. I really need you to send me an angel to help me push this car. And within 30 seconds of the prayer, this big old guy comes walking out of Bojangles. He worked there. He saw me, started walking my way, and I walked toward him, and I said, you got a good back? He said, yes, sir. His hat's pulled down. I said, can you come help me? Yes, sir. I said, you're former military, aren't you? He said, I am a former Marine, sir. And I said, do you think we can get this car pushed up this hill? It's kind of rough. The other guy couldn't help me. He says, we can get up that hill, sir. And so we got pushed, and we got it further, but it was still going through some ruts. And out of nowhere comes this bodybuilder. And he gets up there. I said, Lord, I need another one, another angel. And here comes this bodybuilder. And we take that car, and I believe if I hadn't stopped it, it pushed it across town. And so I pulled up there, and I turned around and said, I asked God to send me an angel, and he sent me Captain America and the Hulk. and I said, okay, Lord, now it'd be nice if you sent me a mechanic. And, of course, AAA come and took it and put it to the mechanic and found out what it was. It wasn't as bad as we thought it was, but it was just so amazing how in 30 seconds that prayer was answered. Now, I could have complained because he didn't send a mechanic. I could have complained because we're stuck and all that stuff. No, I said, no, Lord, I really need to get this car in a safe place. And in 30 seconds, the safe place, God sent me America's finest. Yeah, I mean, He sent a Marine. It's like this one lady locked her car, her keys in her car, and she was in a bad neighborhood. So she locks her keys in her car, and she's really upset because she can't get in her car, and it's not the best of neighborhoods. And this biker drives up. Big old brawly biker with a big old beard and long hair and got chains on and she said, and she thought he was coming to attack her. He really did. She got scared and he said, ma'am, can I help you? She says, yeah, I've locked myself out of my car. And he said, no problem. And he goes over to his bike, he gets something out, and in 10 seconds he's got her out. And she says, that's awesome. Said, you did office? He says, no, I just got out of jail. She said, out of jail? He said, yeah, for breaking into cars. And she said, wow. She said, not only did God answer my prayer, he sent me a professional. the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will with himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I have noticed, and I've noticed it strong, I want somebody with me that's gone through something, but I'm going through something. Because the person that ain't gone through something will come tell you all kinds of mess. You know, and you're going, huh? What are you talking about? They've never gone through anything. If somebody's gone through something, they'll tell you something makes sense. They'll tell you something, this is what happened when this happened to me. You know, and get talking back and forth. It's really an awesome, awesome thing. When Daniel was in Afghanistan, he said, Daddy, I didn't want somebody could have just come over to help me. I wanted somebody been there for a while. I want to be with them. He said, if the guy just come over, might get you killed. He said, but the other guys, they knew what they were doing. And I could trust them. You know, and I tell you, when I find myself in the tight spots in life, I always want somebody who's been through something. They are the greatest help. And you think, well, why in the world are they the greatest help? There's that bodybuilder again, you know, that they've gone through the weightlifting, that they've got this thing together, that they know what's going on. And here, that's right. Oh, God sent me the army that day. Yes, ma'am. Yesterday, he sent me an army. And then the AAA guy came up, and he was cool, and we talked to him for a while. And, of course, he was busy, but we still had a good time. In the middle of all of it, we still had a good time. We kept a good attitude about it. Here is one of my favorite sayings of all times. When it comes up, I want y'all to read it out loud together. Ready? One, two, three. Read that out. If you've not been tested, you don't know how much you can take. You don't even know somebody. Again, somebody that hasn't been tested may run in the face of adversity, or may fall down or lay down quick. You know, I remember, you've heard me tell the story many times. DC and Daniel were just over a block away from the hospital. DC and Daniel are fighting over a Rambo knife while we're fishing out there in Havens Gardens. And DC pulled the knife out of Daniel's hands, and it went right in his eye. And I saw it. He had over a quarter inch gash in his eye, and you could see the blood. And so I picked him up. I threw everything picked him up, threw everything in the car, and we're rushing to the hospital because it's a block away. And the Lord spoke to me just as clear as bell and said, did you talk to me about it yet? So I pulled over on the side of the road, and of course his mama said, have you lost your mind? Get him to the hospital. I said, no, God just spoke to me and said, have I talked to him about it yet? And she said, oh. So we prayed. And then I went on to the hospital. When we got to the hospital, they rushed him on back there because of the severity and the knife and the germs and all the everything. When they went back there, they said, sir, we can't find a cut. I said, I saw it. They said, there's dry blood in there. We see the dry blood, but we don't see a cut. And they said, can't explain it. There's no cut. There's dried blood. I said, because God healed him. And he left that blood there so you would know that I'm telling the truth. But that same night, that just picked my faith up. Man, it picked my faith up. And that night, Beverly had a major cyst rupture on one of her ovaries. And I had to rush to the emergency room. She was in so much pain. And I was expecting God to do the same thing for her. And a couple hours later, she's in surgery. And I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Lord. You healed DC. And now here we go. And Beverly's got to go through this surgery, painful surgery. She's in the hospital for a week. And here's where I learned something. Very powerful. I'm going to read it to you. Now by that time, Acts chapter 12. Now by that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, one of the sons of thunder, one of the 12 apostles, killed him with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quadrants or 16 soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers. He wasn't even worried about it. Bound with 2 chains, and the keepers up before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shone in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when he had passed the first and the second ward, they came to the upper gate that leadeth to the city, which opened to them of their own account. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now I want you to see something now. Mary, the mother of John, he killed James, the brother of John. Think about something. Now, the Bible says, and Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came and hearkened named Rhoda. And when she saw, as she heard, knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, It's his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. All right, here's the thing. Why did God allow James to die and deliver Simon Peter? Both going through the same trial. Both going through the same thing. He lets one die. He delivers the other. It's called letting God be God. Because God has a plan. And even them, they said it can't be him. And Mary's already lost a son. And now she knows she's up there that they're losing Simon also. And so they didn't even believe it when God delivered him. I learned that came to me that night. That day, God had miraculously healed, and I saw it, over a quarter inch cut in my son's eye. And in a matter of hours, my wife was in surgery and was in hospital for a week. And God said, Why don't you let me be God? I got a plan. His way. Oh yeah, he wouldn't do it his way. And yeah, so while I learned a very valuable lesson, and this scripture came to me again. Let God be God. That's right. And so the person that came out the best in all of this was James. He died a Roman death, got killed with a sword, didn't have to hang on a cross. He didn't have all that agony, and he was in God's presence immediately. That's awesome. Peter had to wind up dying on a cross. He died upside down on a cross years later, and had gone through a whole lot of tribulation and trouble. So again, but in the earthly sense, Mary had already seen one son die and then expect the other one to do the same. Right, but see, heal one I couldn't understand why he couldn't heal the other one. Just like he healed. They're both, one was my wife, one was my child. Right. So the Lord, and then there was a time when I was one night on third shift, I was so sick. I don't think I'd ever been quite that sick. And I told my wife, I said, I can't go to work. Call him, tell him I need to go to the hospital. And while I was laying there, this was like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was so sick. And I don't normally get sick like that. And I heard the Lord say, take up your bed and walk. I picked my head up and went, oh, I lay back down. I said, Lord, you got to help me. And I heard him again say, take up your bed and walk. I picked up my head and went, oh, I lay back down. He told me 3 times, take up your bed and walk. And I wouldn't do it. A couple hours later, I'm in the emergency room with IV in my arm. It's awesome. Oh yeah, that's right. I was me and Bert Boyd. Y'all know Bert Boyd. Me and Bert and a couple other guys were singing gospel music, and we were going to sing it as a revival. And I had had, I suppose it was an ulcer, but I was just sick. Couldn't eat. Sick at both ends. It was terrible. I told Bert, I said, I can't go sing tonight. He said, well, you sure? Because I really could. I mean, you know, you're part of us. We need you. And I said, you're playing the bass. I said, I know, Bert, but I'm just in bad shape. Can't go. And they left. And I sat there. And I had DC, little bitty thing. And I said, I'll keep DC while y'all go. Go ahead, wherever you go with it. And I remember very clearly, the Lord spoke to me and said, it'll cost you more to stay home. Let me go. I said, okay. So I got DC up. We rode to church. I got just enough time to tune my bass up. I said, fellas, do y'all mind if I join? He said, not one bit. And so I got up and we sang. And what was so awesome was, I'm still hurting. We're still praising God. The guy's not having a prayer line. We're just praising God. And I felt, I kid you not, I felt a hand come in. You know when your leg goes to sleep and starts waking up? I felt a hand reach inside me, and I felt like my leg was asleep, waking back up. And it pulled me. I kid you not, it pulled me up like that. And my wife said, what? And Bert's going, what? And I said, and the heartburn left, and indigestion, it all left immediately. Right then, And I was talking about going to the doctor the next day. I never even had to go to the doctor, you know, because I listened. I listened, and it was just awesome. Okay. Yep. God's awesome. All right, let's pray. You can pray at your seat. Remember, when you're going through something, Satan means it for your bad. People mean it for your bad necessarily at times, but God always means it for good. And remember this, God's more concerned with your character than your comfort. That's a hard one to bite too. God's more concerned with your character than your comfort. Now, so sometimes you're very uncomfortable while he's working on your character. But again, take off the rough edges, God, and I thank you for it. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Lord, I know, God, that you're alive and you're well, Lord, and you're on the throne. I ask you right now, Father, to minister to us and through us, Father, in such a way, Lord, that we know you've done it. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us to see and to know that you're in total control, even when Satan seems to be all out in his warfare mode. You're still in control. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us all. Minister to us, Father, in a very powerful way. I ask you, God, to help us, Lord, to understand that no matter how bad it is, you are still and always have and always will be in control. Help us to understand that, to realize that, and to watch what you can do in our life. And we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Here you go. Sunday, here's your look. Watch this. Watch it. See that nose? Do it again. Here, watch that nose. Ha ha ha.